You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from askanything-app.com. Access control without the vocabulary trap. Imagine one ordinary access request. A finance manager wants to approve a payroll change. The system knows the person's identity, their organizational role, the device they are using, the time, the transaction history, and the sensitivity of the resource. The manager may also believe that executive urgency settles the question. That single moment is the heart of this curriculum. The goal is not to make everyone recite five definitions. It is to help people identify the evidence that matters, recognize which constraint governs, know who has authority, choose a safe response, and leave a record that another person can verify. The five access control models are best taught as lenses that can operate at the same time. Discretionary access control, or DAC, asks what a resource owner is allowed to share or delegate. Role-based access control, RBAC, asks what permissions come with an approved organizational function. Attribute-based access control, ABAC, evaluates facts about the subject, the object, the requested action, and the environment. Mandatory access control, IMAC, imposes centrally controlled labels and rules that an owner cannot override. And rule-based access control applies organization-defined conditions, such as time, device, network, risk, training, or workflow requirements. There is an important warning about that last term. Rule-back does not have one stable formal meaning comparable to DAC, IMAC, and RBAC. It can complement RBAC, resemble ABAC, or implement mandatory policy. So the enterprise must define exactly what it means locally. The useful question is not, which acronym wins? It is, what input is being tested, and who has authority over it? Every lesson should describe the same decision object. A subject requests an action on an object or resource, in an environment, under one or more enterprise policies. That language also separates authentication from authorization. Authentication establishes who someone is. Authorization decides whether that subject may take that action on that resource now. The instructional sequence moves through several gates. Identity and session facts are established. RBAC supplies baseline permission for a work function. ABAC and explicit rules narrow or condition that permission using current facts. MAC applies non-overridable label and authorization constraints. DAC may let an owner share, but only inside the remaining boundary. Finally, the decision is enforced, logged, and sometimes re-evaluated. That sequence is a teaching simplification. Real engines may evaluate policies concurrently, so the enterprise needs an explicit combining rule. One proposed local rule is that an explicit deny or mandatory constraint overrides a discretionary grant, no applicable permit yields deny, and an indeterminate result fails closed and escalates. Learners must understand that this is enterprise policy, not an inherent law shared by every implementation. The recommended core is a 75 to 90 minute branching video, delivered in short chapters. It starts with an ungraded diagnostic, then establishes the common request notation. From there, learners encounter DAC boundaries, RBAC and separation of duties, ABAC and attribute reliability, MAC and non-override, the ambiguity of rule BAC, policy combining, and operational response. A worked example prepares them for a scored capstone. The fictional North Star group gives those chapters continuity. The same people, resources, policies, and audit trail reappear. A job move, an expired training record, a compromised device, a changed label, or an emergency can change the answer. Learners see the policy language, the source and timestamp of attributes, and must decide before the explanation appears. The scenarios make overlap unavoidable. A traveling payroll approver has the right role but uses a personal tablet outside the approved window and may have initiated the transaction. The safe response is not to treat urgency or executive approval as missing evidence. Normal approval is denied, the transaction is preserved, and only the documented emergency or alternate approver path is used. In another case, a physician with a research role can treat an assigned patient but cannot export identified records into a research folder. The destination owner's collaboration rights do not remove the source label. Permission to view in one context does not automatically create permission to export in another. A contractor's project changes, but synchronization fails. The old repository owner wants to preserve convenient access, while privacy training for the new production log request has expired. The correct response is to revoke stale access, satisfy the new role and training conditions, and treat the synchronization failure as a control incident, not to add a broad group membership. The merger data room scenario tests ethical walls, external identity, device conditions, and mandatory handling. The ransomware scenario tests temporary privilege, two-person approval, hardened devices, continuous monitoring, and revocation when posture changes. The AI assistant scenario tests chained actions. Approval to use a tool and possession of a file do not combine into permission for a new processing purpose or an unauthorized recipient. Assessment must capture more than the final permit or deny. For each scored branch, the learner records the outcome, applicable lenses, decisive facts and authoritative sources, the conflict rationale, the operational follow-up, confidence, and decision time. The proposed rubric gives the most weight to constraint coverage and decision precedence. It also scores evidence quality, operational response, request decomposition, and explanation. A recommended qualification point is 80% overall, at least 70% on constraint coverage and decision precedence, and zero critical unsafe permits. Technical policy authors and privileged administrators would face a higher practical threshold. These numbers are proposed governance choices, not mandated by NIST, and pilot results should calibrate them. Individual skill is only part of the problem. In the cross-functional tabletop, HR holds the identity record, the data steward holds classification and purpose rules, IAM holds the role map, security holds device and threat information, the manager holds the business objective, and audit holds the decision log. Nobody has the complete picture. The team is scored on whether it asks for missing evidence, resolves contradictions, separates policy ownership from enforcement, uses a documented exception owner, preserves an audit trail, and gives the requester an actionable explanation. Program evaluation should look at four levels: reaction, learning, behavior, and organizational results. Reaction helps improve clarity and accessibility, but it does not prove competence. Learning measures include changes from diagnostic to post-test, unsafe permit rates, rationale quality, and delayed retention. Behavior may appear in better access requests, faster stale access remediation, and correct escalation. Organizational results may include policy violation trends, exposure time, unauthorized grants, audit findings, and incident impact, though those outcomes have many causes beyond training. Before launch, policy owners must validate the scenarios and exceptions. Representative learners should explain how they interpret prompts. Accessibility and usability testing should include assistive technology users. Pilot analysis should examine item difficulty, distractors, timing, and scoring consistency. Scenarios must change when policy, regulation, architecture, authoritative data sources, or exception paths change. And there is one final boundary. Training cannot repair defective authorization design. Overbroad roles, missing labels, stale attributes, unclear exception owners, inconsistent enforcement, and weak logs are system problems. The curriculum should turn recurring failures into a backlog for IAM and policy owners, not disguise them as user error. The measure of success is therefore practical. When requester, owner, approver, administrator, responder, and auditor inspect the same event, they should be able to answer the same 5 questions. What evidence applies? Which constraint governs? Who has authority? What action is safe? And how can we prove it?